reading this morning will be from Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body joined in.
It's not quite that long. It just seems like it. Oh, me. I hope you've had a wonderful week and everything's gone your way. And if it hadn't, then you're just with the rest of us normal people. That things don't go right sometimes, but we just live with them and go on. And learn to smile at stuff. Because it just, you know, sometimes you just have to. We all have a lot of things we have to deal with in life. And they're not always as pleasant as we would like for them to be. And we all make mistakes and you do crazy things. All of us do that too. But just learn to look and laugh at yourself. That's something we need to do a great deal of sometimes because we are so silly sometimes. I want us to look at this lesson of why church. And for several reasons, because I've been thinking about this a good bit lately. Why did God want us to come to church? Why did God design the church for us to be a part of it? Why did He command us to come? Can't we worship Him in other ways, in other places, at other times? I mean, what about this? Well, what we need to do is to realize in the world we're living in today, there are very few people, as far as this country is concerned, that worship. I am told statistically that over 1 million people in this country do not go to church. 1 million people. And I'm also told that they have estimated in 2050 there'll only be about 10% of that will be going to church. You say, well, what's the problem? The problem is, where's going to be the influence on your grandchildren's lives and my grandchildren's lives to encourage them to do what's right and to do good? Now, we live in a world. And the world says go this way and go that way. When we are a part of the church, a part of the body of Christ, God says, I want you to go this way, and it's the good way. It's the way that will help us. If people could understand how fulfilling the church is, how fulfilling obeying what God said and being a part of His church and following His will, it would just thrill us. I am thrilled to be a part of the church. I hope you are too. And we want to look at that for just a little bit today and understand some things about that. Some people are not happy with the church today. They want it to be something different than what it really is. Some people, they're not happy and they want it to be this and they want it to be that. Some people are looking at the past and they want it to be like it was years ago. And we have to understand the old adage, you can't go home, is the same thing for the church. It's different. I have worked with congregations and left them and then come back. Maybe you've done that. You've worshipped and worked with a congregation and then you went away and then you came back to that church. You said, it's not the same church. It's different. Yes, that's right. Because the time is different. The people are different. That's a part of it. I don't want to go back to what the church was in the past. I want to see what the church is today. I want to find out what the purpose of the church is and what it's supposed to be today. Not just what it was, not even what it will be, but what is it today? What is the will of God today for the church? What does God want? Now, I understand that the will of God is going to be the same for the past as it is for the future, but I want to think about today because that's where I am. I'm living today. I don't know if I'm going to be living this next week. I don't know if you are. Who knows? So today is what I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with the church today and how it is. Now, we've got to recognize how important it is. The church is such a great thing. I mean, and I want you to realize that. Look at this, if you would. First of all, we need to recognize that the early church faced persecution. They faced trouble and problems like we can't even imagine. We can read about it, but I can't get in my head people taking Christians and killing them. Now, I know it even happens today, but it's just hard to comprehend sometimes. But we see the church that when they were being persecuted, when they were being stoned, when they were being killed, when they were being crucified, these people continued serving God. In Acts 2 and verse 44, listen to what it says. It says there, now all who believed, though that was the church, were together and had all things common. The persecution did not destroy the church. The persecution caused the people of the church to want to be together. They sold their goods so that people could stay there and find out more about God. And that's what they wanted to do, verse 46. They wanted to know more about God. They wanted to know about more about doing the will of God. And that's what they wanted more than anything else. So here they were, people that were trying to do that, and people over here trying to persecute them, trying to trouble them, trying to bother them. And you think persecution would stop it. But it has not, and it will not. Anytime the church is persecuted, the church grows better. Why? Because we're united together with each other. And that's the thing. Have you ever thought about it? As Christian people, and I'm not just talking about churches of Christ, but all the people that confess to be Christians in the United States, and their statistics and figures are just, you know, from 80% to 90% to 95% of the people are Christians as far as the world is concerned. They believe in the New Testament. We've got all those people. And then we wonder about, well, why can't we change things? You know why? We're not together. Is God going to have to persecute the church, Christian people all over the world, for them to ever unite together? We talk about, well, we'd like to have political change. Well, let me tell you something. There's enough Christians, if we all voted together, we can change things. We can do that if we want to. The problem is we're not together. And so if you're not together, then even animals know this. You know, some animals will track other animals that are walking. They get those that are behind. They get those that are by themselves. Christianity is a thing of people being together and facing the world together. It's a terrible thing, and maybe you've been there before, to where you have to, you know, not only are you looking at what's coming at you, but you got to look what's behind you. You don't know who's going to stab you in the back. You don't know who's going to bother you. You've got to look at the front and you've got to look at the back. But isn't it wonderful that we've got Christianity where we've got people that are watching our back? And they know we're not perfect. But they're there. That's the church. That was the first century church. That was what those people did in the first century. And they kept on going and they didn't give up. They had that unity that was there. Now, the leader of the church is Jesus Christ. In Matthew 16, verse 18, he said, I will build my church. That's what he was going to do. That's what he said he was going to do. And he did. He built his church that we could be a part of it. We could go through the New Testament and see there where people were added to the church. Acts 2 and verse 47, God added those people to the church that were being saved. God did that. God placed those people there. How wonderful it is that we have that. Paul used an illustration of the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 18 through 20, he used the illustration of the body. And I don't know. I was thinking the other day about this, and I read something a fellow said about the illustration here or the example of the church and the body. Is your body perfect? Do you look in the mirror every morning and say, it can't get any better? If you do, ask your wife. She'll tell you a different story. I'm told that movie stars, those people that we think are so beautiful, that they have all the beauty in the world. You know, I remember one they were interviewing. They said, oh, you are so beautiful. She said, oh, my nose is too long. Well, I didn't know her nose was that long till she said it. And Linda and I were looking at a fellow the other day, and Linda said, you know, he needs to get his ears pulled back a little bit. They're sticking out. They did look like a car with the doors open. I got to be honest with you. He didn't look that good. Some of these beautiful people, oh, my feet look bad. Ugh, you know. We all look at that. We all see ourselves. And when we see ourselves, we see problems in our body. Let me tell you something. When Paul talked to use the illustration of the church as a body working together, that's what he was talking about. But he wasn't talking about a body that is perfect. He wasn't talking about a body that had no problems. He was talking about a body that had problems. If you're looking for a church without problems, you'll never find one. We've all got them. And I'm of the persuasion that every church has the same problems, but this problem may not be the dominant problem in the church at that time, but it may be in the future. And if we know that, we need to learn to deal with that. The church of the first century was not a perfect church. You go over and read Revelation 2 and 3 and read about those churches there. They weren't perfect. Even the one that was commended was not a perfect church. Brethren, the church is not perfect. And the reason, it's not because of Jesus Christ, but it's because of us. We're not perfect people. We do things that are wrong. We hurt each other, sometimes by intent, sometimes not by intent we do that. But we've got to understand that the church is an important thing. It is not perfect. But the thing we've got to understand is Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It's His church. It's not your church in one sense, but it's His church. He's the one that died for it. He's the one that allowed you to be a part of it. He's the one that told you what to do to become a part of the church. Now we've got to do that. We've got to do what He tells us to do. Because He's the one that is the dictator, not a bad term when it comes to Jesus Christ, of His will to people. The church of the first century was not a church that was one that was dealing with perfect people and perfect things. But the church of the first century was one that was dealing with worshiping and serving God. The church is not just because of growth and thinking about growth all the time. You see, we have this idea in our head of evangelism, maybe because we preachers are the ones that put it there, that everything has to be about evangelism. Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't be. It doesn't be. Is that a good word? It shouldn't be. Doesn't be. Where did I get that from? It should not be. Now, am I saying evangelism is bad? No. But what the church needs to be about is following Jesus Christ's will. Now, that's more than evangelism. That's more. That's me living this life every day. That's me trying to do the best I can to accomplish the things that are there. The first century church grew, but they grew in spiritual ways. They grew spiritually in loving Jesus Christ more, being willing to die for Him. Brethren, we live in a day today where people won't even come to church and you say, you got to die for Jesus Christ? It just doesn't fit. We're concerned more today about our worship. Is it traditional? Or is it contemporary? Let me tell you something. There's something that goes far above that. Is it honoring Jesus Christ? And am I growing spiritually because of my worship? It doesn't matter if it's traditional or whatever. That hadn't got a thing to do with it. Where's Jesus Christ in it? Are we doing what He wants us to do according to His will? That's the important thing. That's the church. That's how important the church is in our lives. And we have to realize that. All right, now, look at this. The church isn't meant to be done alone. Now, some people think, I can worship God down on a creek. I can worship God in my boat. I can worship God riding around in my car. And you can do that. You can worship God like that. But that does not take away what God wants us to do in assembling together as those that are believers. A single Christian is ready to be attacked by the devil from the back. He's ready to gain you. He's ready to cause you to fall. Why do you think the Lord sent His disciples out two by two? One may get discouraged. One may be tempted. But he sees his friend there and he knows, I can't do that. It would be good if we recognize that Jesus Christ was with us and He's there with us, and so we don't need to be involved in those things that are sinful and wrong. We don't need to be involved in those things that are not right. You know, if you read Hebrews 10, not just verse 25 where it talks about attending the worship service and being a part of that and God commanding that, and he does. But if you go back up to verse 24, and it said, let us consider one another to provoke, to cause that other person to serve God and to do God's will. Let us be willing to do that. To lift each other up, to help each other. That's what worship is. Now, you can worship by yourself. You can worship alone, and we need to do that some. We need to be willing to worship alone, and not just at the worship services. And if all you do, if all your worship is just here at this building, let me tell you something. Your Christianity is so weak, it won't hold you up. You need the unity. You need other people to be a part of you. We need to come together and worship together and be those people that are there. We need the church. We've got to have the church. Now, I haven't seen them, but I've heard of these redwood trees in California. You know, the big ones that grow 300 feet high. Do you know how those trees survive the storm? Some of them have been, according to what I'm told, around for 2,500 years. How they do that? Why didn't these storms that are coming through, and they face some terrible storms, how are they able to hold up? I'm told that their root system goes down about 4 or 6 foot. But the roots are over 250 feet long. And so here you have these trees and they're interlocked together with each other. They're tied together, their root system is. When a storm comes and it's blowing this tree, the tree behind it is holding it up. And the tree behind that is holding it up. And so here they are holding each other together and helping each other to withstand the storms of life. That's what the church is. The church is there to help you. To help you to stand and be there and not let the devil or the world come over and rule over you. You say, well, I can do it on my own. Let me tell you something. You cannot do Christianity on your own. To say that we can do it our own is to say, really, why in the world did Jesus die for the church? Why did he sacrifice his life to purchase the church? If I can do it on my own, I don't need the church. I don't need Christian brethren. Let me tell you something. You can't do it on your own. You must learn those things that God has there for you. That local congregation, we've got to have Jesus Christ. We've got to have the local congregation in our lives. I've never seen it yet that when people stop attending the worship service, that they drift away into the things of the world. See, the church is here to help us to know the right way to go, help us to be able to go the right way. That's what the church is for. That's the purpose of it, to help us to know that. And we've got to recognize that. It helps us to stand together and stand against all the fiery darts of Satan, all the things that the world has to offer. We can stand, we can overcome every one of them because we've got brethren with us that are there trying to help us. I may not know the right way to go, and you may help me to find the right way. You may help me to be faithful. Help me to serve God. Help me to do God's will. Now, look at this. Why church? Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 4 and verse 16. It was read a while ago, but I want us to look at it again. In Ephesians 4 and verse 16, here Paul is talking about the church here. And he's trying to help people to understand how important it is and how necessary it is. He said, from whom the whole body, here's the whole body, it is joined and knit together, remember the trees? Knit together by what every joint supplies. Here it is, it's bolstering each other up, it's backing each other up, it's helping each other to get through. That's what the church is doing. Every joint supplies. What you give helps me. What I give helps you. And I'm not just talking about money. According to the effectual working by which every part does its share. That's what the church is. It is every part working together. It is every part trying to help the other part. It is every part trying to develop the other part to the best of its ability. Every part doing its share causes growth of the body for the edification of itself in love. All right, you want a church to grow? You know what you got to have? People that are united together. People that are working with each other. Now, if churches are not growing, I'll guarantee you this is the first problem. They're not united together in a cause. They're not united together in a cause. And it does not develop love, which does not develop that unity that's there, which does not develop those works that are there. I'm doing my thing, you're doing your thing, and the world is doing it to all of us. What we've got to do is to understand how important the church is. Why church? Now, look at this. Why do we really need the church? Why do we need to be a part of it? What is all this? First of all, I've already mentioned and told you that I appreciate the church. I appreciate the church, and this is just a personal thing. I appreciate the church because for what it does in helping us to know the right way to go. The church helps us to know what is doctrinally right because we're going to be teaching the Bible. We're going to be teaching God's Word and what it has to say. It leads us in the right doctrine. But not only that, it helps us physically. It helps us when something happens and I've been there before and people have helped me. Maybe you've been there before and people have helped you, or maybe you've helped someone that needs help. That's what this is. It's a brotherhood together. It's a uniting together to help each other. That's why we have the church. Now, okay, I thought about this part. I've been preaching for 40 years. It seems like it was just yesterday, but 40 years. In 40 years, I have been done so bad by members of the church. I mean, they have said things, they have done things, they have stabbed me in the back, they have done terrible things to me. And you're sitting there going, I know where you're at. I've been there too. And maybe you're saying right now they've done that. Let me tell you something. I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to be a part of the church. I don't care what you say. I'm going to be a part of the church. I'm going to be a part of the body of Christ because I've got to do that. I've got to be that. Now, other people may not treat you right in the church. They may not speak to you. They may not say anything to you. But let me tell you something. Don't take it out on the Lord. Don't walk away from God and walk away from Jesus Christ. Don't walk away from His church that's His bride that He died for because of some ignorant, unknowing, unkind, unloving, and ugly person. Don't do that. We talked a while back about the devil. And the devil comes to church. C.S. Lewis, in one of his books, had that. Told that junior demon, said, when you go to church, just get those people not to like the people beside them. Just get them to have a grudge. Get them to just not like the way they walk, talk, or breathe. And the devil is doing that. And we're allowing that. And we're wondering why the church doesn't grow, why the church is not reaching out to more people, why we're not having more things. Let me tell you something. The reason is we're fussing and fighting with each other so much we don't have time to do God's will. And that's wrong. We need to be those people that are united together to be able to accomplish those things that need to be accomplished. We need to be working together in this. All members are what they should be. You will have growth. You will have churches that are able to do things. But you'll never find one that's going to be perfect. They don't make those. They don't make those. But what we've got to do is to use what we have. The whole thing of church is for us to work together, to get dirty together, to accomplish things together. That's the church. That's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to have in the church. We've got to be those people that recognize how wonderful the church is. and we've got to be a part of it. I hope you appreciate the church. I hope you appreciate what the church has. When the church is like it should be in the Bible, let me tell you something, it will attract people. But if it's not, it'll even push those that they won away. It's not as it should be. Now, look at this. Got to hurry up here if I'm going to get all these other 20 points in. You're going, he's got 20 points? No, I don't have that many. God has a way of using you. God has a way of using you and using you in the kingdom of God. And it's a wonderful thing to see the church as it develops, as it should. To see the church as it grows. To see the church as people are made a part of it. To see the church as pews are filled up. We think about those things. It's a wonderful thing to see that. It's a wonderful thing to have that. But what we've got to do is to realize, to have those things, I've got to have a love for the church. It's got to be so great that I don't care what anybody does. I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to be participating in it. I'm going to put my money and my time and my effort and my kids in it. I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to give up and I'm not going to quit. We've got to watch the church and see how great it is and see how wonderful it is to see the picture that God has placed of the church and the provisions that He's given there and the joy that He's given there that we can be a part of it. To see all those things, how wonderful it is. To be able to be a part of that. To wonder and see the church as it is. And to see what the church is. And to see ourselves as a part of that church. It's a wonderful thing to see the church. And to see it grow like it should grow. But God has a way of using the church. Using it in your life. Using it in such a way that will help other people. You don't find this in the world. And you won't find it trying to worship by yourself. You find it in the church. You say, you want me to be a part of something that's not right? You want me to be a part of something that there's problems in there and people are going to mistreat people? Yes. You know why? There's nothing else. The disciples, some of them turned and walked away from Jesus. And Jesus turned to the apostles and said, are you going to do it? And one of them spoke up. Who was it? Peter? I can't remember right now. And said, let me tell you something. Where are we going to go? There's nothing else. This is the only way. This is it. There's not another way you can go. There's not anything else besides the church that helps us to know the right way and for us to do the right way. We've got to learn the lesson to love other people and care for other people, even though they're not the perfect people that we want them to be. We've got to love the church, even though we know that the church is not as it should be. Brethren, that's just life. Grow up, smell the roses, but be a part of the body of Christ to be able to be a person that is saved. Now, one of the biggest complaints about the church is the hypocrites in it. Does the church have hypocrites? Yes. It always has. It always will. And some people on the outside, and maybe they are even those that are Christians on the outside, say, well, you know, there's hypocrites in the church. And I say, well, yeah, come on down. You'll be welcomed as a hypocrite you are. To say you're a Christian and not to worship God with other people is going against God's will. It's wrong, and you're being hypocritical to talk about God's people like that when you're not a part of it. Come on down and let's help the people that are hypocritical not to be hypocritical. Let's lead them. It's one thing to be critical of something, but it's something else when not only are we critical, but we put our hands to the work to accomplish having the church what it needs to be. You want the church to be different? Then you be how you think the church needs to be. You live like you think the church needs to live. You confess your sins. You obey the gospel. And then you be a person that you're here all the time and you're worshiping and you're looking around and you're finding things that you can do, works that you can accomplish. Not things that the world's going to brag about, but things that the world wants you to do that you can accomplish. Paul recognized he wasn't perfect. He recognized he wasn't the saint that some people call him, that he was the sinner. and we all are. But we've been forgiven by Jesus Christ. We've been cleansed by Him. We've been made perfect. We must understand that. The church is no place for selfish people. You got to learn to give yourself. And that may be the reason that a lot of people don't want to be a part of it. It's because they really can't give themselves. Now look at this. In John 17, Jesus is uttering a prayer. And this prayer, He prays for Himself. He's prays for His disciples. And He prays for us. Now, I'm just going to read a little bit of this because I know I'm getting time to quit. In John 17, verse 21, my prayer is this. This is what I desire. Is that they will be as one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I am in You. That they may be together, that they may be united together as believers. That's what He's talking about here. That, purpose word, the reason, that they also may be in us. Let me tell you something. I think what it's saying there, if you don't want to be a part of the church, you're not going to be a part of Christ. You're not going to be a part of Christ. Because He died for it. So that the world may believe. That's the whole thing. If the world saw the church with its unity as God wants it to be, the world would change. It would have to. But it doesn't see that. And it needs to. It's got to see that. And it's got to be a part of that. That you might be that believer. That they might believe that You sent Me, Father. Oh, there's a lot of things we need to change in the church. A lot of things that maybe are not right, that we need to do different. Well, let me tell you something. You don't do anything by just being critical of it. Come in and put your hands in it. You say, well, I did that and they treated me wrong. Well, what's the big deal about that? The rest of us have been treated wrong too. And we will be in the future. But who cares? I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for Jesus Christ. I'm trying to follow what God wants me to do. I'm trying to show the honor and the glory to the church because it's the bride of Christ. It's the thing that will be received. There will be nothing else received except those that are part of His body, of His church. That's it. And if you walk away from it, even though you see problems and you are not a part of it, you're not going to be in heaven. Don't know how else to say it but that way. So today, you become a part of the church. You become a part of the church that's working and serving and doing so that you can glorify this church and make it better. Let me tell you something. You may be the one person that gives the spark that helps a whole congregation. I've seen that before. I've seen it where people, they changed their lives and it changed the whole congregation. It changed the church. You look at your life. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian today. Come on in and be a part of the rest of us sinners.